opportunity for us knocks today. We got a chance to be at the top of this division today. Let's go out here and show these people our confidence and our swagger today. When I say who are we, you say Saints. When I say are we ready, you say how. Who are we, Saints? 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 This is New Orleans.
Let's go, baby.
Come on. We don't play much in
this
way.
Let's go.
Woo!
Everyone, hello and welcome. Welcome once again. It is that great time again. Welcome to the Sports Opinion Show. I am your host, Matt Alvarez, broadcasting to you live each and every week from San Leandro, California. The sun is out. It's a beautiful day. It's only 65 degrees here today. Thank God for that. Ladies and gentlemen, we were originally scheduled to have another guest on from UWA promotion. We've had some conflict of interest, but we're working on that. So we'll see what happens next week. Like I always say, you never know what's going to happen. I don't even know what's going to happen. I mean, seriously, you think the guy in charge of the show, which is me, would know what the hell's going on around here? No, I don't. No, I don't. And it's very strange, especially with the ongoing fact of things scrambling all over the sports world. And it's like doors that never close. I feel like I'm in the Wizard of Oz now or something like that, or I hate to say this, but Harry Potter could be another one. I mean, doors keep opening, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? These doors never close. The doors to the NFL, the doors to Major League Baseball. Or better yet, I'm sure you've all seen this movie, the movie with Matt Damon. And he's going through all these doors, and, well, of course, he gets help. You have to, you know, use the power of a hat. And it's just crazy, especially the door. It's actually a revolving door to the world of professional wrestling. We've got so much to talk about. I mean, you don't believe me, just... I mean, did you see Raw this week? AJ is getting herself into a lot of frenzy, especially after this Sunday's pay-per-view. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a lot to talk about with the NFL and what they're doing. And, well, it's Major League Baseball. Wrestling's involved. And it's a good thing that we are live, because that's exactly what we are. We are live. We are on the air right now. No other thing should happen before or after this show is over with. And you say, well, how is that possible? What were you trying to do this week? Prevent all these things from happening? No, I'm not saying that at all. Because everybody knows that I can't obviously stop anything from that's already happened. And you're going to see as the day progresses. We've got a caller on the line. We're going to see what this is about before we get into everything, especially our top story. Caller from 724, you're on the air.
Hello, sir. This is Mike from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. How you doing?
Good. How you doing, Mike?
Pretty good. Hey, I was reading you the description of your show here, and I saw that you were going to talk about the DirecTV customer.
Yes.
And,
are you affected by that?
Well, here's the thing. I'm not sure if anybody's aware, and I know it's Blog Talk Radio, so you can pretty much talk about anything, but there's a website. It's called VIP Box TV. You just basically Google that, and you can watch any sporting event, NFL, boxing, MMA, baseball, of any team, anywhere, absolutely for free. I've been on this the last couple years. Obviously, the quality of picture is not as good as if you're a DirecTV customer, but I haven't paid a thing to watch any boxing match, any NFL game in the last 2 years. There's no downloads, and I was just curious if you were aware of this website.
No, I was not.
Yeah, it's called VIP Box. All you do is you type in those keywords, it'll take you right there, and you can go to any game and any sport, whether it's soccer across the, you know, in Europe or football or boxing, anything. And, you know, I've been very frustrated with DirecTV, you know, and all the different options to watch the NFL package. So I did a lot of research a while back, and I found this site, and, you know, I've been very happy with it ever since.
That's good. That's good. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there you go. You heard the website from Mike. Mike, so you said you've never been happy with DirecTV. Did you have it in the past?
No, I never did. You know, I was, and then you know, just you know, financially, you know, I mean, I'm a diehard you know NFL fan, probably like yourself and a lot of your listeners, and you know, the price is just too steep for me. And, you know, I like the Red Zone. You know, that's pretty cool, and you can get that for free, you know, on a regular, you know, package. But, you know, DirecTV is just a little too much out of my what I want to pay. So I just found this website, and, you know, it's the next best thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy because, ladies and gentlemen, I only found out about it 48 hours ago from social media from my cousin. He said, my son's going to be very upset. We lost all the channels because of DirecTV. And he kind of joked, and he puts my name in there, and he goes, hey, Matt, why don't you let my son come up there and visit you and hang out, and he can join you for TV. I go, I don't think so. You guys live too far away, and besides, I only have Comcast. He's like, well, screw it. I said, well, then I don't know what to tell you.
Well, I'll be honest. When I'm a Cowboys fan, and you know, when I have the game, if I had it on DirecTV, I'm the type of person that likes to watch the game by myself. You know, I get really into the game, and I don't like going out to the bars and watching it because, you know, there's a lot of distractions. So, you know, having the DirecTV or however you watch it, the big advantage is you can watch it right at your home, and you don't have to deal with other people or you know, any distractions around you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, in case you don't know, or Mike, in case you don't know yourself, the reason for this is that they claim they're in a contract dispute with Viacom, but then again, Viacom and DirecTV are partners, so it's kind of like they're married, but they claim that this has been going on. DirecTV says, well, we're trying to, it's their fault because they're supposed to make the customer pay more, and so it's a back and forth thing of, no, we don't say, we never said that. Oh, yes, they did, and so now they've pulled all the most of their channels from the network, and that includes Spike TV. So, you know, I don't know if anybody saw MMA Uncensored on live after TNA went off the air last night, ladies and gentlemen, but, you know, they were kind enough to let you know that you can watch TNA or MMA Uncensored on live on SpikeTV.com because of this whole contract dispute thing. So
how much does it cost for the NFL package on DirecTV now, if you were to get it?
I'm not sure. I think it's like only $40 or something like that.
Oh, well, that's not too bad. I guess just they're trying to sign you up for DirecTV and then only charging $40. That's not too bad if you can get that.
Well, the other thing is, you know, if you've been if you've been with DirecTV, let's say, for like maybe 15, 20 years, then they want those people to become the premium payers. I mean, they would pay more, and, you know, because they just now started to go with the way Comcast does it, because with Comcast, you know, I've had them for years.
Yeah.
So, well, would you like to upgrade to this other deal for a cheaper price? And that's for being a loyal customer. And I said, sure, I'll take that deal. So I changed my contract a few months ago just to get it out, and I'm like, hey, this is actually more affordable than what I was paying before. So now DirecTV is just now getting into this whole thing, and I'm like, well, that's their fault. They should have thought of this years ago, and, you know, it's kind of like certain types of membership. You get benefits for being a member versus if you're not a member, you still get good deals, but not as good as the ones that everybody else gets.
Oh, I see. Who's your football team? Who's your allegiance with in the NFL?
Well, you'll probably be sad to know, but it's the Oakland Raiders.
Oh, boy. You know, I'm out here in Pittsburgh, and I'm neutral with the Raiders. I don't like or dislike them, but I thought last year that was one of the worst trades I ever saw, given a number one pick away for Carson Palmer. I mean, Palmer in his time was a great quarterback, but ever since that injury in the playoffs against the Steelers, he hasn't been the same. I mean, he was out of the league last year, and the Raiders gave a number one draft pick for him. And as much as I hate to say it, this could very well be Carson Palmer last year in the NFL. I just see a steady decline the last few years. And as a whole, I kind of like the Raiders. You know, decent defense and, you know, good running game and stuff. But they have to do something at quarterback because at this point in Carson Palmer's career, he's not, you know, he's a bottom five quarterback starting-wise, in my opinion, in the NFL.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But how do you feel now about this whole thing? You know, ever since Al Davidson's been gone, ever since, well, what's his son going to do with the team? And so far, I haven't seen anything impressive, even though they're my home team. And
you know what?
Like, I don't get it. What do you think?
I love Al Davis, what he's done for the NFL. I mean, him and Pete Rozelle practically, you know, back in the late 60s, you know, it's where it is today because of him. But, you know, in the last few years, you know, I don't wish, you know, death upon anybody or anything, but as a football standpoint only, I think it was good to get him out of the Raiders organization. I kind of wish he would have, you know, stepped down, you know, before he died and just kind of let someone else take over. Because some of the trades and draft picks he made, you know, the last 5 years he was in charge, you know, was pretty bad. As far as, you know, I guess his son, you said, in charge now, I think it's kind of too early to tell. Who made that Carson Palmer trade? Was that Al Davis's last big move, or was that the son that made that trade?
No, that was Al Davis that did that. He got a chance to do that, and
yeah, then I don't. Then I have to blame that on Al Davis. I don't. It's too early to tell with his son. I know he hasn't done a lot, but sometimes in the NFL, not making a lot of moves, you know, is the best thing. I'm here in Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh, the Steelers don't make a lot of moves, don't bring in a lot of free agents, but, you know, they just do things right through the draft and, you know, do their scouting good. And let's just hope, you know, that the son, you know, can kind of learn from that instead of making a lot of bold moves, you know, like Davis did.
Well, I think, like, in 2 or 3 weeks, I think there's only 2 or 3 weeks left of, you know, the initial trade. So if teams want to trade, now is the time to do it. Who do you think would benefit most in the NFL from an official trade or, say, you know, a rookie trade or trading somebody, a veteran of that sort?
Oh, boy, it's, yeah, like you said, with training camp, you know how it usually plays out is through injuries. If early in training camp, you know, a quarterback gets hurt in a preseason game, that usually dictates, you know, who's going to get traded. But as far as just the last comment, my wife's kind of on me here. We're supposed to go out. But as far as the – I want to give you a prediction on the AFC West here. I think it's wide open because I don't really think there's a team that's that good. I mean, everybody likes Denver. But, you know, Peyton Manning, you know, there's a lot of question marks with him. And, you know, it's not like that team around them is, you know, world beaters themselves. I think last year they just made the playoffs because of Tim Tebow and, you know, the magic he pulled. You have a San Diego team now that lost, you know, Vincent Jackson and, you know, a lot of their weapons from when they were, you know, really good were gone. So I think the AFC West is kind of up for grabs. And, you know, if for somehow Carson Palmer could put up a decent season, I think the Raiders, you know, could be in the thick of things. I just don't think the division's that well.
Yeah, I don't know how these teams are going to scout and report, and when it comes time, because nobody really cares about the preseason. It's all about the regular season for everybody. So we'll see how that plays out. If what team can score, and then we have to worry about it later on. Who eventually will get to the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
So.
But, hey, thanks for the time. And, again, for all your listeners, sir, that website, it's VIP Box. You can watch all the NFL games for free, any boxing, MMA, Major League Baseball, anything you want. And thanks for your time.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Feel free to call at any time.
You bet. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye. Wow. That was an interesting call, wasn't it, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you once again, Mike, for that call. That was awesome. I almost felt like conducting an interview. That was awesome. Well, now you heard him say it. You heard him mention the website. Check that website out, ladies and gentlemen. Or if you want to stay up like I told you earlier. This whole DirecTV thing has pissed a lot of people off. I mean, my paternal grandpa, he's 94 years old. He got DirecTV, but he didn't subscribe and upgrade to all these, you know, little shenanigans like what Mike was saying with the Red Zone and the All Golf channel where you can watch golf every single day. He didn't want that. He just wanted the basic premiums. And now, think of it like this. I know people in Blog Talk Radio land that own Blog Talk Radio, they're probably listening to the show too, along with the rest of the whole entire world is listening. But it's like when Blog Talk Radio said if you can start paying for premium subscription, then you'll get the full benefits. You'll be able to call people. That's why I had to quit the show on my old network, on my old channel, and jump on board here to an actual network that allowed me to come on and join their network right here on NDB Media. This DirecTV thing is the same thing. They want you to, you know, call them up and say, hey, I want to upgrade to the Red Zone or the Special Deluxe channel or the All Sports channel where I get the NFL, Major League Baseball, whatever sport it is, you'll get all those channels, but you'll have to pay more out of your pocket just to get it. That's how they get you to become a premium subscriber versus being, like I told Mike, a non-premium member or something like that. Like if you go to the gym, if you're just going to go to the gym for, say, maybe a one-week trial, you're going to pay more for the gym membership than the actual people that have been going there for years and years and years. And the person next to you doing workout at the gym has probably got a damn huge membership card. But, I mean, if you can't afford it, you can't afford it. You can only do so much. And that's why I don't understand. I mean, they didn't even give Viacom the actual relations to what they were trying to do. DirecTV didn't want to hear anything that they said. So what they did was they just went right to pulling the plug. They pulled the plug on all the networks without even listening. I mean, I understand what this is all about. Because, I mean, as a kid growing up, I had the same problem initially with violence and stuff like that in school. And school officials would say, well, Matt, we want to hear your side of the story. 5 minutes later, I'd be in some damn principal's office getting the fuck chewed out. And then they would leave. And I'd say, well, where the hell are you going? We're not done. The conversation is not over. And they said, oh, yes, it is. I said, well, how can it be over if you wanted to hear my side of the story, but you don't really want to hear my side of the story? So things like this become bullshit because when they tell you, we're going to listen to your side of the story, that's what happened with DirecTV and Viacom with this little contract dispute that they've got going on. They walked into a meeting on Wednesday, and they were only there for maybe 5, 10, 15 minutes, and then they walked out. And that's when they told their bosses to tell the other employees and people under them, go pull all the channels, pull all the networks. We're not going to be a part of this anymore. We're done. And so I know that my cousin in Los Angeles, California, because like I said, I found about it from my cousin, that his son is very upset right now because he can't watch Nickelodeon. He's got kind of a, you know, handicap disability where the only thing he can do is laugh. He can't really talk. That's all he does is laugh. That's his disability. But I know that people like that, just because you don't think they have feelings, they do have feelings, so I know he's probably very upset. Instead of laughing, he's crying his eyes out right now, probably, because he can't watch Nickelodeon because DirecTV wants to be stupid assholes about this whole thing with Viacom. Just come back to the table, rationally work things out. And that's all I have to say about that. But it also has to do with one other thing. Our subject title for today's show is being greedy. That's what DirecTV is being. They're being a bunch of shitheads right now, being so damn greedy just to go tell everybody, oh, pull all the channels off the network. We own the network. Technically, Viacom has 50% network profit to help DirecTV. See, it's like that. I mean, just go back into the history of how some of these networks got started. Fox and NBC would not be on the air had it not been for a few 1, 2, 3 different billionaires coming in and giving money. You can't just turn your back on shit like that and say, oh, well, thanks for your help, but we're going to have a fallout. We already know that, so screw you. We're going to go on our own. I guarantee you, this is the last thing I'm going to say about DirecTV. If DirecTV won't come to terms with themselves and with Viacom to at least try and renegotiate a brand new contract, much like the NFL did, come to the table and accessibly change things morally. Because if they don't, and if they try and tell the world, we're going to stand up and do this, we can do this on your own. No, you've only been around for what? 4 years? Yes. You are not going to survive on your own. You're going to need the financial backup. But then again, this is probably why they want people to pay more money than what they already are paying. Ah, see how that goes? Talk about being greedy. I already had that shit all lined up and ready to go to talk about being greedy, and then this happens. And I'm like, are the sports gods allowing this to happen? The NFL gods, the Major League Baseball gods. I mean, I didn't get a chance to ask Mike. I wanted to ask him, you know, one final question, and that was, you know, because all these sports are contemplating. You talk about being greedy. Here's a real thing about being greedy. That all these different sports are now saying the same thing. We don't think we need, you know, instant replay. Nah, there's no reason to have instant replay anymore. But that all goes back, you go back full circle. Think of it as if you're a driver like me. If you're a driver like me and you drive a car, then you know what I'm talking about. You know how if you miss a turn and let's say your GPS tells you to make another U-turn. So you make a U-turn and then it tells you, well, you missed the turn, go back and make another U-turn. Every time you make a U-turn, it's going to go right back to where you started from. Keep making those U-turns literally, well, not literally, figuratively, imaginatively, and it's going to lead right back to the NFL. Because the NFL is the one who fucking started this whole thing, talking about, we don't really need instant replay anymore. They're still deciding. They haven't made an official decision. I'm waiting for them. I want them to make this decision right now. Because you heard me and that caller, that nice caller, Mike. Mike said the same thing. I don't know when training camp officially ends. I don't know when the trade deadline ends for teams to, if they want to trade certain people. I don't know either, because I can't access my damn Yahoo Mail. It's over here telling me that you've entered the wrong password. Ooh, screw that. I know my damn Yahoo password. And it's like that. And so now everybody else is trying to do the same thing. Major League Baseball was the one back in April that copied the NFL. Oh, we don't need instant replay. Now everybody else wants to do it. Why are we doing this to ourselves? Really? Now I know what my mother meant years ago when we were kids. And if I did something, I would turn around and realize that my brothers and my sisters were copying me. And I'd be like, what the hell are you doing copying me? Mom would say, well, monkey see, monkey do. Somebody sees you doing something and they think it's cool or they think they like it, then they're going to do it too. So my mother was right. Monkey see, monkey do. Monkeys are going to follow the person doing it. They're not necessarily going to follow the leader, but they're going to follow whoever is doing what everybody else is doing. And that's what's happening. That's what's wrong with sports. If they take this instant replay out of the game, it's going to make the game completely out of context, and that will result in even more new rules that will be way too hard for certain people to understand. Just think back to 2008. 2008 was the original date that they said we are now proclaiming that anything below the batter's box, inside the batter's box when he's batting from a pitcher, that's where the new strike zone will be. Because these umpires, they can't bend down anymore. They just can't do it. So, because we want to help our umpires, we're going to make a new strike zone. That's where the new strike zone will be. It will no longer be on the outside corner if you throw to the left. What? What? Well, if that's the case, why didn't they see what I'm saying? This whole time that this new strike zone was implemented in 2008, Major League Baseball, they had the chance to do it. Why didn't they sit down with all these, you know, umpires who claim that they couldn't bend down anymore because they're getting older? Well, just stay in your position that you're in. You'll be fine. Whatever. You can't tell an employee whatever. If I'm an 85-year-old umpire and I'm trying to bend down and all of a sudden, what if my back goes out in the middle of a live game? Are you going to pay my back problems? And what if I have to possibly be carried off the cart? Oh, an even bigger bill. Are you going to be greedy and not pay for my ambulance in case I need to be sent to the hospital because I can't walk off the field under my own power? Why didn't they release these guys or let these old guys retire? Or they could have given them office jobs or something like that. You can always find new umpires. But see, this new strike zone that they did in 2008 completely changed the complex of the game. And remember, going back to what I said, the NFL is the one that completely started this whole we don't need instant replay crap anymore. You know the most time that they needed the instant replay? I know we all watched the Super Bowl. It was only 10 minutes into the third quarter. I'm sure you all remember this. The Giants were headed lean back all the way down to the other team's 10-yard line, and they were trying to score. They were trying to score. They were trying to get a first down. They were trying to scratch and claw and do anything to get their asses up the field so that way they could not worry about what the score was anymore. Johanna Harris catches the ball for the Giants. The second he catches it, he gets tackled and goes down. But it's in front of the sideline. His hand was completely way out of the way. It was nowhere near the sideline, you know, where they paint the actual sideline to show that it's out of bounds. But his hand went the other way, diagonal towards the middle of the field. And all the referees are like, well, what happened? What are we supposed to do here? Well, you know, I do feel like taking a quick break. Oh, yeah, well, I'll take a break, too. Let's all go to tell the audience that we need to, you know, we need to take an instant replay break. Yeah. So that's what they did. They went over and started looking at the booth, started looking at the camera from different angles. And we even see the replay on TV. The announcers are even saying, well, there's no need to review this anymore. He's clearly not out of bounds. He's in bounds. That should be an automatic first down or a first and 10 line because he's kind of in between the 5 and the 10-yard line. That's what everybody, including the announcers, thought was going to fucking happen. And then the referees come back and the main referee says, ladies and gentlemen, I regret to inform you. He did have possession of the ball. But his feet came down. His left foot was the first thing to hit out of bounds. So we must do the play over again. Still the Giants' ball. And they sent them back to where they were at. And everybody said, what the hell? My friends and I, we were eating pizza. I wanted to throw pizza at the TV, but I couldn't because it wasn't my house. It wasn't my TV. Had it been my TV in my house, I would have thrown complete pizza all over that referee. So, I mean, if you watch that play, people were booing. And this, remember, all took place in a categorized city. I mean, sure, anything can happen in any type of sport. We had it here in 2002 because the Raiders are in the next city over. You don't believe me? Look at a California map. Look up San Leandro, California. And the map will take you through and you'll eventually see that if you type in Oakland, California too, or just backtrack it on Google Maps, you'll see that San Leandro and Oakland, California are right next door to each other. Because in 2002, when the Raiders lost the Super Bowl that year, we went to the Super Bowl, but we didn't win. People were rioting the streets. People were canvassing, flipping police cars over. Said, it's a damn good thing I don't live in Oakland anymore. Let me get the hell out of here. But New York was worse. Because, I mean, here we are now, years later. The economy just totally, totally sucks. Almost everybody is deep in the red zone. And I'm not talking quarterback red zone perfections. I'm talking about economy-wise. Nobody really had money. People are losing their jobs. People have been losing their homes in the last few years. And New York, the city of New York, took an uproar stand against that referee and all the referees who were officiating that game. Because I clearly saw it. Everybody else clearly saw it. That his hand and his feet, his hands and feet, never touched the out-of-bounds line. They were 3 feet away. And yet he got the nerve to say, oh, he's out of bounds. That doesn't count as a catch. He caught the ball, but it doesn't count. They must go back and do it again. Back to the five-yard line on the other team's five-yard line right now. Oh, and please reset the clock to 13 minutes and 42 seconds. The replay clearly showed everything, and now they want to get rid of the replay system. Bud Seeling said it 2 months ago. You know, I'm in charge of Major League Baseball, but after all these years, replays and the replay system itself, it doesn't affect me anymore. I don't feel the need to have it anymore. No, bullshit. You're just saying that because Roger Goodell said that. The infantry of the U.S. soccer team, the referees decided last week when the U.S. played Japan, and then the week before when the United States played the Canadians, all three of those games. Are we going to watch a replay? And the referees were like, they just waved it off and they threw the flag to continue soccer, a.k.a. football. And the game went on. So now nobody feels the need to do instant replay? Sure, you heard me say Roger Goodell said that these things don't affect things of any game. Bullshit, the hell they do. They very well affect the outcomes of games. They affect everything that goes on with games. Because if they don't, how are people going to know what's going to happen? Unless they see the replay. It's amazing what really, truly happen. And you talk about being greedy? Oh, everybody is being greedy. Because nobody is thinking about how to make the game better. They were before, years ago. Yeah, back in 94, 95 when I was just becoming a teenager. And now it sounds like they want to make things worse. I'm confused yet intrigued by all this. It doesn't make sense anymore. Or does it? If you want to be greedy, stay greedy. If you want your team and your organization to win, you will say, screw it. There's no sense in being greedy because it makes no sense at all. This is only hurting us. and we need things to get back on track. That's what they need to start saying. Things need to get back on track, and maybe if we do that, then just maybe, maybe the economy can get back on track too, if we start something about that.
Hey fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Hey, sports fans, this is the Scorekeeper. I want to thank you for listening today. I want to remind everyone that if you want to stay up on all of our events, head on over to sportstalkwiththeguys.com. There you're going to find a hip and happening forum and up-to-date news on our blog, and maybe even a few of our friends, or as we call associates. Definitely not comrades, but you can fight Matt Alvarez and, of course, Sonny Clark as the couch potato. Check out the links over at sportstalkwiththeguys.com.
And now, we return back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alvarez.
Yes, we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. It's time now to transition over. Still talking about being greedy. Why does everybody need to be greedy? Help each other out. We're in the worst economy slump ever. Anyways, I don't know why that was brought on. That was free. That wasn't even in my notes. Well, there are three big names being discussed to be The Undertaker's opponent at WrestleMania 29. And the three individuals would be either The Rock, Brock Lesnar, or John Cena. And check this out. Here's the bliss of it all. The decision of who Undertaker will face has ultimately been left up to him. WWE never leaves things up to any one wrestler. It's always their decision. This time they gave him the decision. Even though the event is still 9 months away, the plan is to have whoever doesn't face The Undertaker face each other. So, in other words, it will work like this. If Taker wants to work with John Cena, then The Rock would face Brock Lesnar. Do we really need to do that again? We've already been there and done that with The Rock-Brock connection. And as I told you earlier, for those TNA fans who have DirecTV, number one, I feel sorry for you because this is, like I said this earlier, that it's all about being greedy between Viacom and DirecTV and this little stupid dumbass contract dispute. But you can watch Impact Wrestling on SpikeTV.com. SpikeTV is allowing you to do it for free. Of course, well, DirecTV settled this little dispute. The website, SpikeTV, that is, has been putting the episodes online, but they're putting them on their website, although here's the sucky part, with a 7-day delay, which means last night's TNA episode aired last night. I got to see it, but that's because I have Comcast. So if it's a 7-day delay, you might as well just fucking watch it on YouTube, or go to the link that the website that Mike gave you earlier when he called in. Because 7 days away, that's next Friday. Why would you do that? Spike TV needs to speed things up if they want people to check out their website. According to the Cherokee County Sheriff's Office, I'm sure most of you are aware of this, but there's a little incident. There was a story that Buff Bagwell had been arrested on July 9th, and details were sketchy. But now we know that Marcus Alexander Bagwell, a.k.a. Buff Bagwell, for those of you that don't know, was part of WCW World Championship Wrestling of Woodstock, Georgia, was arrested on charges of reckless driving and weaving all over the roadway. They're probably going to charge him with drunk driving, too, if he was driving like that. Batista's first MMA fight is set for October. DDP, I know you're happy about this. DDP is in the chat room. We've got lots of people in the chat room. Join the chat room right now on blogtalkradio.com/NDB Media. TMZ reports that the WWE alumni will fight October 6th in a bout promoted by CES. He will be fighting Rashad Evans. Calm down. I know everybody's like, oh, Batista's going to fight Rashad Evans. No, not UFC Rashad Evans. There happens to be a brand new up-and-coming guy in the CES independent mixed martial arts promotion who happens to have the same name, Rashad Evans. God, if I ever meet another Matt Alvarez, I don't know what I'm going to do. In a heavyweight fight. The card will be televised, though that's all the details that are known. Others are not known. The fight is 2 years after Batista first announced his intention to go into MMA after he left WWE. He nearly fought with Strikeforce, but that fizzled out and he happened to open an MMA gym in Florida. And, yeah, see, everybody's doing one thing at a time and or some things that are not there. And in case if you're wondering, and of course we'll get into this later, but it's just a partial piece of business. In case you're probably wondering, Hulk Hogan was viciously attacked last night on Impact Wrestling. Why was he attacked by the Aces and Eights group, the so-called professional violent regime? Well, they were pretty violent on Hogan last night. But there was a slip to this angle because Hogan has to have back surgery very soon, which is what prompted them to run the angle of attacking Hogan for no reason at all. And, yeah, he might miss at least maybe a month and a half or maybe the whole month of Impact Wrestling. Ooh. Oh, God, I just thought of something. Does that mean he's going to leave his precious little daughter in charge of TNA? Well, they still have Dixie Carter there, so I don't think things will get too badly out of shape, and Eric Bischoff is no longer there either. Ring of Honor has announced via press release that they will hold Supercard of Honor 4. It will take place at the one and only Hammerstein Ballroom in New York City. The weekend of WrestleMania 29, though. The press release reads, that will undoubtedly be the biggest wrestling weekend of the year in the biggest city in the country, and ROH will be right in the heart of it with the absolute best in reaction you can expect to see anywhere in the world. Remember, there are rumors that WrestleMania 29 could also take place in New York City. Kind of a conflict of interest. And one final piece of wrestling news, you're going to find this interesting, or not. Vince McMahon spoke with several wrestling websites about his introduction and things of that nature as Raw approaches its 1,000th episode. They asked who came up with the name Raw. Vince McMahon replied that, he said, I did. The name Raw came out of my head. He said, I wanted a word that would embody everything we wanted the program to be. It had to be gritty. It had to be cutting edge. It also had to be confrontational. And Raw fit perfectly. And he said, they asked him also, what's the most vivid memory you have of January 11th, 1993? Because it was the very first Raw. Vince replied that, I wanted to go back to our roots. I wanted the first broadcast to have a small, intimate, ruckus crowd, and I was certainly not disappointed in the feel of the Manhattan Center. As soon as we went on the air, even before we went on the air, we knew we were onto something special. When was the moment you knew Raw was going to be a legit long-term success? Vince replied, from the very beginning, we were flying without a net on live TV. There was and still is an energy with Raw unlike anything else on the air. Everything we do and everything we say will be felt immediately. There's no chances for retakes. Yeah, right. And they also asked him a more predominant question that reveals the things that we've been talking about here on the show. They said, any thoughts about once again bringing Raw to the Manhattan Center for old time violence sake? He said, actually, we've thought about it, but the thing about nostalgia is that people and WWE fans tend to be more nostalgic about superstars rather than places. That's a lie. The audience is interested in the personalities rather than how the business has evolved. Vince, come on, that's also a lie too, and you know it. And they finally asked him, how do you toe the line between appealing to fans that grew up watching the Attitude Era versus trying to watch the PG version? He said, well, it's a very delicate balance. Prior to a while, back in the territorial system, he said, my father was onto something. He believed in the future of the business was in entertainment more than the rest of the promoters. Raw stays true to that concept because Raw is a variety show. He said, you name it, and Raw has it. Action, drama, and athleticism. Raw really does have it all. They said, has the goal of Raw maintained the same since inception, that being to entertain the fans? He says, absolutely. And especially with smiles on people's faces. And we do it on a global basis, despite the color of skin. Or lack thereof. Vince McMahon is so biased when it comes to things like that. Because Vince McMahon knows, like I know, because of everything I just said, it's what makes him a damn liar. Because there is no way in hell that you can do everything possible to make sure that you send the fans home with something happy. It's not true. There would never be anything more true about things coming to be. Especially if we take a look, which is what we're going to do right now. A quick look at this past week's Monday Night Raw segment. You know, because here's the thing that makes Vince a liar. He sent in those initial interview questions with all these different wrestling websites. That he said that WWE stays true to its word. In other words, what he's really saying is we're not greedy. We've never lied about anything. Oh, don't make me laugh. More bullshit because it's not even funny. This type of line is wrong. These are what we call the red lies. Sure, there are white lies in the world, but the red ones are so worse because they're full of blood. They're full of stain. And don't try and use Mr. Clean on these type of lies, because they will never come out. Vince McMahon sees himself as invincible. That nothing will never come after him. You know how he always has R-Truth saying, you're going to get got? Well, he has been got. And he's been caught, C-A-U-G-H-T, by the federal government on more than one occasion. Just think. Think back to 2 weeks ago. The words of Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler stated that because of what Roddy Piper and some of the other legends, and last week with Doink the Clown on there, but it all really started with Mick Foley being the interim Raw General Manager 3 weeks ago, in storyline terms, and said, great, from now until we reach our 1,000th episode, here's what we're going to do. And they proceeded to tell you that they're going to have a legendary wrestler be in the role and be in charge for one night only of Raw and SmackDown that week. Did we see that at all last week? If this was a room full of classroom people, because I like to view this as a classroom, because you're all listening. You all have the power to call into the show and voice your opinion. And you've never heard me once on this show say, well, you know, if you got the wrong opinion, and don't ever call into the show again. Have I ever done that? No, I have not. I give you the chance and the benefit of a doubt that your opinion might possibly be correct. That's my logic. That's based on telling the truth. WWE's logic was to say that. And this past week on Raw, Chris Jericho and others that are involved with, well, this the past Sunday, they had their pay-per-view Money in the Bank. Well, actually, they're getting ready for this Sunday. This Sunday is the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. And so all the Money in the Bank participants are in the ring cutting their own promos, saying who's going to win what. At best, it could be CM Punk, or it could be Daniel Bryan. Things could masculate with the Big Show being as big and powerful as he is. But the writers are building him up to me? Oh, yeah. But then I expected some legendary wrestler to come out and proclaim to tell the world that, well, he's tonight's general manager. But then they flickered the special effects lights on and off. On and off. And then you heard the buzzing sound. More like a gay-ass ringtone, if you ask me. Because that's what it is. We discovered that last year. Myself and my former co-host, AJ. He was a guest host that day. And go back to last year in September. We were on the show, and he's like, check this out. You know how they've been doing that thing with the anonymous general manager? And I found out what that sound is, because he downloaded it on his phone. He said, it's a ringtone. And he put the phone down for a second, grabbed his cell phone. He's like, let me know if you can hear it, yelling from the background. And he played it. It's a fucking ringtone. And this stupid anonymous general manager crap. And so what the hell are they doing? Where is this so-called legendary wrestler that's going to come out? And no, you're probably going to think that I'm going to say, well, Vince McMahon, that's lie number one. He's lied so many times, I've lost count. And sure, it was kind of funny, it was kind of amusing that they had Santino Marella dressed up as Sherlock Holmes, because then he proceeded to ask everybody, wait a minute, you're the anonymous general manager, aren't you? Yes, you are. You're not on the laptop. You're the one typing things from the laptop. Then they said on the same show, because the anonymous general manager had already made some decisions and stuff like that, the main event was already set, which meant that the main event would have proceeded to 20 minutes. And, well, here's Vince McMahon's version of being greedy. Because everybody that was involved in the Money in the Bank ladder match to start the show, they all took 15 minutes each, which means we had 25 minutes of damn promo time. You know, and I've always said it. You know, I don't get to see too much independent stuff, but I'm going to. Thanks to some new independent friends that are in the independent wrestling business. They're going to be nice enough to send me some independent tape from their promotion or other promotions that they know. Because I've seen some stuff on YouTube, especially with ROH. When ROH does a storyline, they get right to the point. And it's like one guy says one thing, the other guy says, well, fine. I'll just kick your ass right here, right now. Well, fine, then it's settled. And they go right on. And whether the guy wins or loses, it doesn't matter. Because ROH knows that they've got another show lined up. And it doesn't really matter who wins or loses. As long as you send the fans home happy. ROH has known this for years. So is everybody else. The one person on this planet that thinks he's got it all figured out. Just because, oh, I'm the one that took over my father's business. And I even drove my own father out of business. And I took over. And I created the WWE. I'm Vince McMahon. And he thinks that there's no problem with lying to the audience. Telling the audience things that they don't need to know or they do need to know. And, you know, Josh Matthews ends up reading the stupid anonymous general manager crap from the laptop. Whether that laptop is real or not, I don't know, and I don't care. He then proceeds to tell the world that it looks like we're going to have another main event. And I said, what? Another main event? Yes, they wanted you to go to WWE.com to vote if you wanted to see Michael Cole in a rematch from WrestleMania versus Jerry Lawler. Well, that wasn't supposed to happen. That only means one thing. That because everybody involved in the Money in the Bank ladder match spoke their mind for 15 damn minutes, and that was almost a 30-minute, you know, time of the show. It took up 30 minutes, and then they started with wrestling after that long commercial break. See, every 10 minutes, WWE feels that they have to take breaks and commercial breaks on a substantial schedule. And it's like, what? Are you serious right now? I mean, and just think back to last week. I know some of you told me, well, you know, you told me right here in the chat room. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Eric. Thanks, AJ. It was a great show. I'm going to watch SmackDown tonight. Because they even promised that new things were going to take place last Friday on SmackDown. Well, something obviously must have happened. Maybe some of the boys got in trouble. Whatever the case was, that also was a lie. Because the same thing that aired on Tuesday, because remember, they said they had the special Tuesday night SmackDown / Bash at the Beach show, which was a load of crap, because they tried to promote it as a pay-per-view last week. Last Friday. I'm like, crap, it's 8:30. I'm 30 minutes late to watch SmackDown to see this new episode. And I knew I shouldn't have been all hypered up about it. I made myself pissed off. It's not you guys' fault. You're great fans. It's nobody's fault. It's WWE's fault. That's whose fault it is, really. I said, what the hell is this? This is the same show that was on Sci-Fi 4 days ago on Super Tuesday SmackDown. The same show that they showed is playing once again. See, I could have went to the movies. I do plan on seeing the new Spider-Man sometime over the weekend. But it's like, you know, everybody's saying, well, you know, what is the problem over there? See, and that's why the main event only got 4 minutes to do their stuff. A four-minute main event. And, of course, John Cena does come out on top. The only good thing was that I said before the main event happened that since this match includes members of the Money in the Bank ladder match this Sunday, and more than likely the Big Show is going to come down and get involved and interfere because he's not in the match, I don't care. Let him come out. I want everybody to start pulling ladders out. Because the last 2 months, the last Raw before the pay-per-view had nothing to do with the pay-per-view. And I don't know why I need to tell Vince this, but I guess I have to. Vince keeps saying and complaining that, oh, we're losing revenue for pay-per-views. People are watching the pay-per-view, but that's after the pay-per-view's over, like Monday or Tuesday. Well, I'll tell you why. You're not promoting the shit out of the pay-per-view. You should really, really promote the hell out of it. Just promote, promote, promote. It doesn't have to be a big promotional thing. Because, again, if you do that, that means you're being very, very greedy. See, the problem with this, ladies and gentlemen, is it goes over his head, and then he forgets what happens on his own show. His own show. But this past week on Raw, I thought he did pretty damn good. Because my wish came true. He had everybody come out. He had everybody pull out the ladders. And they start, you know, throwing each other off the ladders, pretending that it was the actual pay-per-view. Then AJ gets up there, and she throws Daniel Bryan straight off the ladder. He ends up crashing and burning all the way to the floor. And then CM Punk suddenly grabs a briefcase to show that this Sunday, I, CM Punk, will be the next World Heavyweight Champion. And that was their mere way of having Raw go off the air. But that's not the only thing that happened. Let's go over this real quickly. Lord Tensai and Dolph Ziggler versus Tyson Kidd and Christian. Of course, things happened after the match was over. Tensai was still very upset with Tyson Kidd because he got his trunks pulled up last week on Raw in a quick 1-2-3 count, thanks to referee Jack Doan, who's surprisingly still with the company. But that made it even more interesting and more complex to tell because nobody understood why Tensai did that, because Tensai and Dolph Ziggler won the match. He still had a lot of heat to destroy Tyson Kidd with. Brodus Clay took on Drew McIntyre. Of course, Brodus Clay won with his huge headbutt and big fat arm clothesline that he gave Drew, also was reason for him winning. We'll come back to Brodus Clay thing in a minute. I want to talk about his inappropriate dancing that took place on Raw. John Cena and Kane versus The Big Show and Chris Jericho. Things happen because, well, Big Show and Jericho, they did a lot of underhanded tricks in front of the referee and they got disqualified, so Kane and John Cena end up becoming the winners. And, you know, here was the other surprising thing that they did. We already know the pay-per-view has been set up for this Sunday. But then they go, they announce that they're going to have a bonus, another Money in the Bank qualifying match. Sin Cara versus Heath Slater. And I said, why are we having a bonus match? The pay-per-view's already set up. What in the blue hell are they doing? Of course, Sin Cara wins. Heath Slater lost because he jaw-jacked with the fans and told everybody, remember, I'm the one band wrecking, one-man band or something like that. And, of course, the impromptu Jerry Lawler versus Michael Cole match. You know, Jerry Lawler was supposed to win, but the anonymous general manager says that because of one Booker T getting involved and helping Jerry Lawler win, they reversed the decision and Michael Cole wins. Great, this gives Michael Cole something even more to gloat about. They're still trying to play him as a heel, but nobody's buying him as a heel character anymore. This is a knock-knock wake-up call for Vince. Change it back. Eve Torres and Daniel Bryan versus AJ and CM Punk. And, of course, CM Punk and AJ, you know, they won. And like I said, he did grab the briefcase to show that he would keep an eye on everybody involved in the Money in the Bank ladder match because he was going to watch the match. Now, this Brody Clay interceptional dance with him and his girls were kind of going off in a world by themselves because Naomi took off her skirt. Cameron, you know, pulled down her nylons halfway. Hold on. You've got children in the ring with you. What's worse, you've got 90,000 other children in the audience with their parents or whoever they came with to that show. Did you see that last little girl that Naomi led in the ring? She starts dancing like Naomi. And that little girl went so far as to, you know, take off her little blouse. See, and once again, this is where Vince McMahon is being so greedy that, like I said, he's not even paying attention to his own fucking product. His own show is melting before his face, and he's not even paying attention to it. You want to know why? This is where it all started, back in October. We are now a PG product. I'm Vince McMahon. We'll make sure that this happens properly. Because if anything that goes past rated R or past the censors, then I, Vince McMahon, vow to do one thing to the person that does this. And they know the words. They will hear it from my mouth. You're fired. Well, why don't you fire Brody Clay, with all due respect, of course, and Naomi, and Tamra? Because there's nothing wrong with dancing, but having them, Naomi take off her skirt, Tamara pulled her nylon halfway down, just a little bit, and the camera did catch her private area. And then this little girl next to her proceeds to do the same thing and then start dancing. That's not PG material, Vince. See, because everything they did based on this past week for all was to show you, well, we don't really care what goes on because we're the ones in charge of it. You can't tell us what to do. So we're going to do what we want to do anyway. Because they did what I just said 5 minutes ago. They were promoting the hell out of their pay-per-view They got everybody involved with bringing out their own ladders, those that were involved in those matches. Tensai, after he won his match, like I said, beats the hell out of Tyson Kidd because there's a rumor going around that, well, the rumor is that Vince might or might not let this be a special attraction match this Sunday at the pay-per-view. Oh boy, another match to look forward to. And there will be, it looks like Sin Cara will also be in the Money in the Bank ladder match because, as I said, they had a qualifying Money in the Bank ladder match halfway through the show. Well, you're probably saying, well, Matt, I know you said that the pay-per-view is already written. What caused this to take place? How did Sin Cara get a spot now, randomly, out of the blue, with only being back for 2 weeks, because these other few months he's been gone, he's been on suspension, so is Rey Mysterio and a few others. So, if I was a wrestler, Vince, and if I was Sin Cara, let's pretend that I get suspended for possibly doing illegal drugs, not the prescription ones, even though Rey Mysterio, I believe he's telling the truth. He's the one that's doing the prescription drug. But let's pretend that I'm Sin Cara and I get in trouble. I get a wellness policy letter sent to my house and it's signed and signatured off. And it professionally triggers the name of Vince McMahon, who signed it, telling me to stay home because I've been suspended indefinitely. And then I don't have to practice, I don't have to warm up, I don't have to get ring time in. I don't even have to look healthy. I can come in looking like the Big Show, a little chubby there on the side. Sure, I got in trouble for a wellness policy dictation, but now I get a qualifying match for no reason at all. I got in trouble, but yet I get the good shit out of this. Wow, thank you, Vince. Yeah, right. Are you kidding me? Vince is actually going to let him be involved in this Money in the Bank ladder match on Sunday when I thought the policy was that if you just got back from being on suspension and we did find drugs in your system, then it's basically like baseball. This is how Vince McMahon works. Just come show up backstage, but more than likely you're not going to wrestle. You're going to sit on the bench and just watch the show from afar like a baseball player. You're going to be benched. Well, there were several other talented people that had been in trouble, but they got in trouble months and months and months ago. I mean, we're talking way back, like, to August of last year, and they still haven't gotten TV time. But here's Sin Cara, and they opened the doors wide open for him. You know why Vince did that? Because even though Chris Jericho is a high flyer for this ladder match, he's not as young as he used to be. Can he really do the Walls of Jericho on top of a ladder anymore? Or rectify it with the lion salt? No. So they needed a younger version, high flyer, for this match. Allah! Magic, enter Sin Cara. So your aviation plan is to get the pay-per-view over so well that you screw up in the process, not knowing what, I mean, because I know I keep rambling on, but let's pause, take a minute. There, I took a breath. Before we go to our last commercial break, think about this. People are always saying, and I was trying to get to this point earlier, that how many people does Vince McMahon have in charge anyways? Well, that's the problem. There's too many managers, too many leaders telling somebody else what to do. Now, I know we have a lot of brand new people in the chat room that probably don't know how this works. See, in wrestling, you have one or two people that are road agents for each show. So whatever wrestling company it is, and on the independent scene, they call them bookers. Vince McMahon and, of course, the other guy supposedly running TNA, Hulk Hogan. Those two don't like to use that word booker. So they call them road agents. And, like, let's say, for example, if this was Raw or SmackDown or TNA, and I wanted some guys to actually do real wrestling, well, let's pretend that that role belongs to guest 3663 in the chat room, and he'll be in charge of Monday Night Raw. Because he's a high-flying specialist. He can get all these great matches together for different reasons. And there will be a different storyline ethic between each storyline. Then let's say we would go to Friday Night SmackDown. And let's pretend that DDP is a real ring specialist. That he wants the real wrestling. He knows how to get that out to the fans, which is going to in turn bring viewers to watch the show because they enjoy real wrestling, athletic wrestling. That's his specialty. See, that's what Vince does. He puts different people in charge. They're all road agents, but they all work for Vince. But once in a while, one of them will be in charge. Then you go to the next person. The next person is in charge of TV television production. The television production for both wrestling companies right now sucked. Twice, in fact. You know, last week when on the Super SmackDown show, if you watched it, Alberto Del Rio was telling a guy who actually worked for WWE, but he got the night off and didn't have to work backstage. So they gave him a speaking role to get the audience riled up, and that's why he had permission to grab him by his shirt and why he shoved him and made it look like he's assaulting a fan, but he's not. That was Christopher Martinez. He's in charge of their Florida Championship Wrestling Productions. And remember, he tells them, "Where are your papers, you illegal immigrant? You bastard." And he grabs the microphone from Alberto Del Rio, if you saw this. He's like, "What are you talking about, S.A.? I'm not an illegal immigrant." He's like, "Oh, security, see, this is what I'm talking about. Security, come out here." And again, he grabs the microphone. No, you don't get it. This is not Mexico. No, I'm not an illegal alien. This is Texas, homie." And then when Sheamus came out, the camera caught a blurry vision. You know why? Because the cameraman, they both forgot that Alberto Del Rio and his sidekick ring announcer, Ricardo Rodriguez, are behind them. The cameraman bumped into him. And he had to turn around and go, "What?" You know, because Alberto Del Rio was like, hey, watch it. He almost stepped on me. Carlos Rodriguez told the other cameraman, "Dude, I'm behind you. You made me fall. Now I have to get up and make it look like I was arguing with Alberto." And so that's why one camera shot Sheamus coming down the aisle, blurry. The other cameraman showed Alberto Del Rio yelling at Ricardo Rodriguez to make it look like they were arguing. But the real reason was both cameramen knocked into both of them. It was unintentional, but still. Vince, you need to tell your production guys step away. Vince McMahon's rule was always stay 3 feet away from the wrestlers. And so we'll get better shots and we'll have a better chance of actually showing what needs to be shown. It didn't ever work. But you see how that ends? I'm not too sure how this is going to really work. Hell, I won't be surprised if next week we find out that the FAA or the FCC got involved about the whole Brodus Clay dancing stuff. Ooh. Well, Vince, don't make us take you to court. We've done it before and we will do it again. No, you don't need to take me to court. Oh, there's no reason to do all this. Because Vince always says, we can work this out. Or he'll use a line from the famous movie and a famous song, by the way. Can't we all just get along? Please. Can't we all just get along? No, because there would be no brass for anybody's acknowledgement. This is why the wrestling business is in such bad shape. Because it's everybody. Production. TV writers. How many times have they rewritten shows in the past 8 months? Everybody's in trouble, and it all goes back to the one person that caused the whole trouble. The person in charge. The promoter. The only thing this is going to work, the only way this is going to work, is if Vince McMahon and Dixie Carter get off their ass and actually get back involved in the actual strings of being in the office. Otherwise, they will still be greedy.
Hey, sports fans, this is the Scorekeeper once again. On behalf of the Big Dog, we want to remind you that every Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, we have our two-hour extravaganza, and then every Monday and Thursday at 8 p.m. Pacific Time, we have our weekend review and our weekend preview. Don't forget to catch us over at blogtalkradio.com/sportstalkwiththeguys and head on over to www.sportstalkwiththeguys.com. Hey, sports fans, this is the Scorekeeper once again. I want to remind you that, of course, we wake you up Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, and immediately following us at 8 a.m. is the hardest working man in sports. That's the Couch Potato. And, of course, his venerable sidekick, Cuervo. Again, after all, we wake you up, and they bring it home. Don't forget to catch them at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, because we are the four-hour block of sports on Saturday morning on blogtalkradio.com. Sports Talk with the Guys, immediately followed by The Couch Potato. Check them out at blogtalkradio.com/the-couch-potato.
Hey fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, the hottest place on the internet for wrestling and video games is, of course, WGS Radio. We got it all. News, reviews, interviews with some of the biggest stars in wrestling today. And yes, even...
Oh my God!
The leader of Team Gooch himself, McDirty Seth. That's every Wednesday and Saturday night, 7 p.m. Central Time. And of course, for pay-per-views, 2 hours before every pay-per-view for wrestling. www.longtalkradio.com/WGS Radio. We'll see you there.
Back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. Yes, of course, ladies and gentlemen, you've been hearing all the commercials all along. That's right. If you want to stay up to date with more sports, and, I mean, these guys here on the NDB Media Network, they talk about golf. They talk about rugby and everything else that I don't talk about. They will be back here tomorrow morning right here on this same channel at 6 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, if you'd like to be right back here with us. And, of course, after they go off the air, they stay here, too. I believe Couch Potato is also doing a show right after that. So it's 4 hours, really. Oh, man, those guys are great, but they're crazy, too. Now, we need to get down to the bottom of this being greedy phase, because I'm sure we've all been through experiences where if you're a greedy ass asshole, that is, nobody's going to want to be around you. Nobody's going to want to be friends with you. And nobody will most certainly want to hang out with you once they find out what an ass you are. You know they're going to do everything they can to make sure nobody hangs out with you. And, of course, that's why we look to bigger and better things, but I don't really think this is anything better either. The show started off with Joseph Park returning to TNA Impact after a week from being absent and telling the world that he's here to prove more and more things to Bully Ray. Bully Ray comes out and decides to challenge him. He says, here's a contract, right here, for right here, right now, for a street fight. Anything goes. And only 4 minutes into the match, Joseph Park gets busted wide open. That's more blood than we saw on Sheamus last week on the Super SmackDown show. That's because Vince doesn't really appeal to having blood on his show. And fine. There go your viewers. All the viewers are going to TNA. But then again, TNA doesn't really have much to offer nowadays anyways. That's why I feel it's so imperative. I hope that one day, I mean, ROH does have a syndicated TV deal. They've been having it for the past 4 years. But I can understand maybe if everybody else, including ROH, are too scared to get up and compete with WWE and TNA. Don't worry. As I said 60 days ago, back in May, I said, don't worry, I think Vince McMahon is done buying wrestling companies. Because it's time for people and for other companies to stand up. Stand up, rise up like the machines that you are, and tell the world you can take this and run with it better than TNA, better than WWE. Because it wasn't just, you heard me before the commercial break, bash all the production for the way their camera lost focus on everything on Raw. It wasn't just them. TNA had the same problem. Just look at the replay from the Bound for Glory series match. Samoa Joe versus Rob Van Dam. Sure, it was a hell of a match. But when they took the fight outside the ring, there were at least 8 mishaps with the camera crew. I mean, they had this problem back in March, when they had Samoa Joe take on the undefeated Crimson, and he was still undefeated at the time. But that was the same night back in March, when Samoa Joe cost him his match, and he lost because Crimson was too worried about other people. As the storyline went on, other people involved with TNA. And they were trying to show how vicious Samoa Joe could be against Crimson. Problem was, the second assistant cameraman for production turns around and zooms in on the damn stairs. Did anybody get thrown into the stairs that night back in March? No. Nobody was on the stairs, but he let the camera sit there. I was like, what the hell am I staring at? Move the camera. Do something with it. Shit. I'm trying to watch wrestling, and you're over here keeping the camera on the damn stairs And do you see an invincible wrestling match that I don't see, that nobody else sees? Hello. Shit. The same thing happened with the Samoa Joe versus Rob Van Dam match that took place last night on Spike TV. It was right before RVD backed out of the middle of the ring to reapply the hold that he was holding into the small submission hold. The third camera assistant from way behind the crowd was trying to show, you know, his side of things. But all of a sudden, his side of things ended up, you know, panning the ceiling. Who's up in the ceiling? Sting certainly doesn't come through the rafters anymore, so I don't know what the fuck you think you're doing with that camera looking around up at the ceiling. Does WWE and TNA need better production directors and camera directors and management personnel to keep tabs on these guys, or fire them for not doing their job correctly? Because it ruins the momentum of a match. It really does. And if you were at the WWE show or TNA show last night in person, you had no clue what people, those of us here at home watching it, saw and how terrible it was from the production side of things. I think that WWE needs to go back to their old rule that they had. TNA can borrow it too. Tell your camera crew to stand at least 3 feet back. That way the action can stay on camera and they've got nothing to worry about. But TNA has a different greedy problem. They're so focused not on the X Division, even though the champion Zema Ion took on Dakota Darso, because Darso said that there was no way in hell that I'm going to let you ruin my career the way you ruined my best friend's career. And it all had to do with Jesse Sorensen. It's a very good match. It took out things more than anything that I saw from last night. I said, whoa, that's the way that you do it. Knockout title match, Brooke Testmacher versus Gail Kim. Brooke wins, even though Gail did try to cheat. The Bound for Glory series took off again with Ken Anderson versus Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle wins. Mr. Anderson did try to win with the mic check, but Kurt Angle had blocked him. And he hit his third Angle Slam of the night. And this whole AJ Styles clashing with, you know, Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian, and the new profoundment of one person. And it all leads up to Claire Lynch. But, you know, I had this problem with WWE. Now I have the problem with TNA doing it. TNA, this is their greed. They are so greedy, and I know we've only got 10 minutes left in the program, but they are so damn fucking greedy, because they've been saying since January, you want more originality? Well, we've got it for you. You're going to see it. And then by the time April and May rolled around, they said, this summer, you're going to be surprised. You're going to love what you see. More original. New things will happen in TNA. Yeah, right. Clearly, from what we all just saw last night, between Claire and AJ Styles, he said, they have nothing for you. Frankie Kazarian and Christopher Daniels are the two low-life sons of bitches I've ever met. They don't care about you. She said, no, they're telling the truth. I'm pregnant, damn it. I just had no choice but to laugh. I said, what? What? This is not an original context storyline. This is a 1995, 96, 97 ECW storyline that they threw out there with Paul Heyman, Tommy Dreamer, and Beulah McGillicuddy involving Raven, Tommy Dreamer's most epic opponent ever, his most rivaled opponent. And now TNA goes and does this. Stop being so damn greedy. They're greedy on one side because they say they're original. Well, you're not showing originality. You're doing copycat versions of yourself is what you're doing. At the same time, trying to mimic what ECW did because you saw the surprised look on Christopher Daniels and AJ Styles' face. And Frankie Kazarian was like, oh, wow, let's get out of here. We don't want to hear no more of this. Kind of like what Raven's goons did that night at the ECW arena when that shit was announced. The other thing was that when TNA started, they said, our camera crew will be asking questions, but you will never, ever, ever know who they are. You will never see their faces. And we want to keep it that way. Because their originality was that they wanted to surprise you, that maybe one of these days the people standing behind the camera asking the questions to the TNA wrestlers and staff alike, that one day, you never know, you might have to recognize the voice and be like, hey, wait a minute, that sounds like Howard Stern. Oh my God, it is Howard Stern asking the question. I didn't know he was a wrestling fan. See, they've been trying to invoke national attention to gain national attention to do these exposures to make you think that you would never, ever see the person behind the camera or the person walking around next to the cameraman but never being seen on camera asking these questions. That all got so pulled out of proportion last night on the show. Chris Andrews, he's a production staff guy for TNA. Remember when Claire was trying to drive off and, the camera crew stands in front of her car and Andrew goes and he touches the car. He goes, I can't let you go anywhere. You have to answer our question. What is the status of your relationship with AJ Styles? She said, I'm just here just to visit. I'm here to visit my best friend, Dixie Carter. And that's when he put his hand in the car. He goes, I need an answer. She said, get the hell off my car. What are you doing? And then when, later on in the show, when they did the whole thing, the pregnancy angle, and AJ Styles is like, I'm out of here. I'm leaving. I don't care if I get paid or not. Fuck it. Fuck the whole damn thing. I am gone. And then Kurt Angle tried to stop him. He said, AJ, it's okay. Calm down. Relax. We can talk in private. I can help you with this. He shrugged off Kurt Angle. Andrew, who was supposed to be behind the camera, and they swore that you would never see anybody involved behind the camera crew. Andrew runs after him from behind the camera, trips over the camera cord, and then you see Sean Davis, who used to do production for Vince McMahon back in the early 80s. He's the one holding the camera. Well, what do you know? He just had that look on his face like, oh, shit, I've been caught on camera. I can't stop laughing about this. So much for keeping your promise in TNA. See, now everybody's focused on other things and not focused on what they should be focused on. WWE and TNA and all of sports, including the NFL and Major League Baseball, a final message to you. Get your head out of your ass and stop being so greedy. Oh, boy. I wonder what's going to happen when the NFL season comes around. No, really. I mean, seriously.
Tony Frost knocks today. We got a chance to be at the top of this division today.
What happened?
Let's go out here and show these people our confidence and our swagger today.
The National Football League.
Say, who are we? You say Saints.
If I'm telling a player that they can't pay him anymore than what he added on his contract. You know that player's going to be pissed? What do you mean you can't pay me on my contract? We had a deal. We had a deal. Well, so much for that. The NFL's going to blow over if that shit happens. Stop being greedy, you assholes. You guys all have a good weekend. Thank you for being here. Take care. We've got a special thing next week. See you later. Peace.